evening, everybody. We're going to call this meeting to order. Start with the roll call.
Person Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy.
Here.
Commissioner McQueen. Present. Commissioner Roberts.
Here.
Commissioner Veazey. And Student Commissioner Meyer is also present.
Everyone, I think this is like our best in-person turnout for a while, so awesome to see everybody. Happy summer. We'll start with public comment. Dan, do you want to start and take the mic?
Oh, okay. Would you prefer to do this now or when you come to the foodware ordinance?
McQueen is present.
Gary, we just started, so you're good. Do we want to move that up in the can we do that in the agenda? That way Dan doesn't have to wait through all the other stuff for
I can wait.
Right. So why don't we start number five, which is discussion and recommendations regarding drive through exceptions, and we can start with public comments. With Dan. Dan, does that sound okay?
Sure. Whatever you want to do. Okay. Daniel Lauber, 7215 Oak. I've been doing some research on this and sent out, and I believe yesterday, Sarah kindly sent out some refinements that I've suggested for the foodware ordinance that meet the concerns of Nick Caravites and McDonald's. But I wanted to, if I may share my screen, I'd like to give you some context. Over here is a table that the town of Atherton, California put together. Five pages summarizing ordinances from the Bay Area and in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as including the state of California. And it's clear, I'm not gonna make you suffer through trying to read this small type, but it's very clear there's a wide variety of ordinances, many that are much more demanding than what's proposed in River Forest, a few that are not quite as demanding, but most of them are much more demanding and much more complicated. Much of what we're doing, proposing here, what the Sustainability Commission is proposing here, it's nothing new. It's widespread in California, Oregon, and Washington states, and I believe in other places around the country as well. So I'll stop screen sharing now, if I may. Not that I know where I can stop. Okay. I thought I knew how to use Zoom. I can't find how to stop screen sharing. Sarah, we'll can you stop my screen sharing? Anyway, the refinements.
I think if you put like a, if you click the green button, maybe at the bottom, the screen share one, if you like hover over that.
I'm not even, wait a second. I'm opening this up more. I'm not finding a screen. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, there it is. It's up there. Did that stop it?
That's stop okay, though. We can still see
it. I got it.
So we can, there
okay.
we go.
Got it. I got a very large screen. The refinements in the document that was distributed to the commission yesterday essentially achieved the following goals, which solved the concerns that Nick Caravites had and I believe National McDonald's had with the ordinance. It will, the effects of it, and this is all on the first page of the memo, that patrons, whether they're inside, online, or using a drive-through, will not need to ask for a straw with their beverage. They will automatically be simply given the proper type of straw, a paper straw, if it's a soda-type drink, and a plastic straw if it is a milk-based or fruit-based drink. And the reason for that, as Nick explained to me very thoroughly, and he is thorough, that paper straws do not hold up well with fruit-based or milk-based drinks, and they tend to disintegrate. I should add that the other day we dined at Fiore in Forest Park, and we were very pleasantly surprised that they used paper straws as their default, much like Ted Turner's restaurants do. And apparently it's spreading quite a bit. One of his concerns was that patrons would have to ask for a straw in the drive-through lanes. And it's a safety concern. They want to make sure that they get a straw. They don't want people taking the cap off and then trying to sip a drink while driving. This ordinance, if you adopt the refinements that I've suggested, they will be automatically given the proper type of straw. It also provides, in accord with the American with Disabilities Act, the option of providing flexible paper straw for people with disabilities who need them. And that really won't change the current mode of operating, because right now you'd have to ask for a straw. But the ordinance does have a provision, suggested provision in it, that would prohibit any establishment from asking the person to prove they have a disability. If they did that, that could very likely run afoul of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So we just have to rely on the honor system. And I think the overwhelming percentage of people will be honorable about this and not ask for a flexible plastic straw unless they really need it. Staff would be free in the drive-through, but not required, to ask patrons if they would like specific single-use foodware items. That was the second concern that Nick had. He wanted to have the ability to have his staff verbally ask the patrons if they needed a fork or spoon or knife, napkins, et cetera. They wouldn't be bundled. They would just give them what they need. And that was very essential because, if you've ever been going to a drive-through, sometimes you're taking the food home. You don't need the plastic utensils, but if you're going to eat it, park and eat it, or if you're going to be really daredevil and eat while you're driving, and I don't know how you use plastic utensils to eat while you're driving, they can ask for them. So those were his two concerns. With those two concerns met, Nick has absolutely no objections to the ordinance. He would be here tonight, except he is on a plane on his way to the United Kingdom for a McDonald's International Conference. The River Forest food establishments will also be able to enjoy greater profits because they won't be giving out as much single-use foodware. And the other suggested amendment, refinement to the ordinance, is to allow 90 days for businesses to conform with the ordinance. The range in that Atherton, California compilation is 30 days to 18 months. And the 18 months one was for a very complicated ordinance that I think you need a lawyer with special skills to translate into plain English for people, which we have avoided here. The 90 days after talking with Nick, it became increasingly clear that, especially with the chains, we need to allow more time to adapt, to train their staffs, especially for the drive-throughs, develop their signage, although I know the village will develop a sign, but I think it's going to be really important for the village manager to collaborate with the food establishments on the sign to develop one that's going to be very effective, but not difficult to display and easy for people to read, especially in a drive-through. And the chains are going to have the challenge of getting their corporate authorities from whom they buy their implements to start stocking paper straws. So I think it'd be extraordinarily prudent for the village to allow them 90 days from passage of the ordinance to make these adjustments. We don't want to put an unnecessary burden on them and be unrealistic, but corporations, and many of you, I'm sure, work in corporations, move slowly. The specific changes are simply on page 5, where we add in, and it's in boldface green, that plastic straws solely for use for milk-based and food-based beverages, and flexible plastic straws for people who need it because of a disability, are not counted as single-use foodware. And on page 6, we added provisions that allow establishments to ask the patrons if they want the foodware, and a provision that prohibits asking someone to prove they have a disability. And then the final one is at the end where it allows 90 days. The one thing that's missing from the ordinance is an enforcement mechanism and penalties. And looking at some of these ordinances that were in the chart I showed you, as well as some others that I found, there are penalties. I don't know if you want to get bogged down on that right now, but they're pretty simple. It was $100 for the first violation, and then I think $200 for each additional violation within a year up to for the second violation. And then it was, I think, $500 for each violation within a year over two violations. Enforcement, I think, would be done by, you know, someone complaining to the village, or by occasionally having village staffer go through the drive-thrus and pick up a meal and see how they're treated. I'm sure you could probably find some volunteers among the village staff. They'll be happy to go through McDonald's drive-thru, especially if the village is treating. So that's the refinements that I'm suggesting that the Sustainability Commission accept and add to the ordinance and forward to the village board. I'd be happy to ask any questions. And you know, if there's other people speaking in opposition to the ordinance, I hope I could have an opportunity to respond to what they might have to say. Thank you very much. And thank you to Chairman Simon for being receptive to citizen input on this.
We appreciate all your input on this, Dan. You've been an invaluable resource for this. I do have one question for you, because I know one of the concerns, just because you think these things through creatively, one of the concerns by McDonald's was the hotcakes, right? So they made a point that, like, if you don't include the syrup and the butter, which in our ordinance would be a single-use plastic as a condiment, like, people will be irate, right? They'll come back and they'll yell at them, and, you know, because their product is essentially unusable with those products. And there's, like, you know, other examples like chicken nuggets and things like that. But with those, I believe they ask for what sauce you want. But there's certain things I can't think of. I'm not a McDonald's eater, so I don't know, like, but I know that's one thing where, you know, it's part of the meal. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on that.
I think that they could simply ask them. Nick did not raise that. I think that I don't see anything in this ordinance that would prohibit them from asking if they would like those, let's call them condiments. Let's face it, condiments are going to be single use through a drive-through or a take-home or online, you know, even eating in the restaurant, especially in this era.
Right, it's all condiments. That's not just a drive-through thing.
Yeah. You know, and it's going to have to be that way for a while. As long as there's COVID around, they're not going to go back to, you know, having a bottle of syrup on the restaurant table.
Great feedback, and the commission does have a copy of the changes you've suggested. Beth, you have a question?
We're discussing this item now.
So let's. Well, is there other public comment?
No.
I see another phone number on here. I don't know if it's us or 708. That's us. Okay.
Yep.
So Yeah, no, we haven't. You're right. So Dan shared his ordinance suggestions, but that chart was new to all of us just now. So we can get a copy of that. Absolutely. Dan, you mind sending us a copy of that chart?
I could email it to Sarah right now.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay, so this we're now opening this. We're closing public comment and opening this up for discussion. So I don't know if somebody wants to start with comments. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I just have a question, and this is with respect to Dan's refinements. Did we have the name right? Nick from McDonald's have a chance to look over and respond to your suggested changes?
Yes, Nick looked at it and he sent it to the McDonald's corporate people that he was working with. He was supposed to have a meeting with them yesterday, but it got canceled. And so he sent it to them. And I imagine if they had any objections, they were planning to come here tonight, but if they had any objections, but I guess they did not have objections because they haven't shown up.
That's correct. They're not here. So
we were advised earlier today that they were unable to attend the meeting this evening.
Busy day at the drive-thru. So just like kind of a point of order for all of us. So to remind us of where we are in the process, and then we can continue to have this discussion. So, you know, we provided, and help me out, Sarah, for what I get wrong here, but, you know, obviously we provided a recommendation originally to the trustees. The trustees looked at it. They had questions that they wanted us to get answers on. Actually, they wanted the village staff to get answers on. One of those was meeting with McDonald's. Brian, Sarah, and I was on the phone, did meet with McDonald's corporate. So this wasn't Nick, who's our, you know, our local owner. So there was a meeting with them. So that kind of satisfied our obligation to the trustees to kind of find out what the McDonald's perspective was. So, you know, I'm not going to do a good job paraphrasing it, but like the McDonald's perspective is they feel like there's one, a potential safety issue. And again, this is corporate's point of view. So corporate's point of view, and I don't think this is at all unfairly categorizing it. This is what they said, is they automatically kind of, you know, question any type of ordinance that's going to change the way they do business. Just as a point of, you know, if they hear about it, you know, they will respond. The person we met with, who's from the government affairs department, she was very reasonable. She started out by saying, like, look, we will respect, you know, whatever your village decides to do, but we want to just provide it input. It was a very reasonable conversation. They have some safety issues, which we discussed. And the other thing was more logistical, right? It was making sure that they don't hold up, the line at the drive-through, and they can continue to, you know, function like an effective drive-through. And like my hotcakes example was something that came up a lot, right? The one thing that I do agree with, just from you know my own personal experiences, is people don't read anything, right? So like the idea that you could put up a sign that says like, you know, please ask for, you know, no one's going to see it. Like, you know, there's so many signs at the drive-through. I don't read any of them. So they're looking at it from a very practical standpoint of like when somebody gets to the window, you know, we have to serve them their meal, right? Like it's, at that point, it's too late to have the conversation. Do you want condiments? That really needs to happen at like the speaker. And they're just concerned from a customer service standpoint that people will drive away and they won't have their ketchup and they won't have their syrup and their butter. Insert example here, they won't have their barbecue sauce for their chicken flavored nugget products. And, so there's just concern it's going to create poor customer service and it's going to disturb the flow of the drive-thru. Sarah, any other kind of perspectives you felt like that they had?
One other thing that was mentioned too was that sometimes people might try to walk back through the drive-thru. And obviously that's a huge concern. Right.
Yeah, like they'll pull it because they've seen it before, right? Like if you forget something, they don't like according to McDonald's.
They don't go back in line.
They don't go back in line. They, like, park their car on the edge of the drive-thru and, like, run to the window. And that's for missing food. It's not just a condiment.
And
generally
then the other thing that was discussed a little bit were some of their sustainability initiatives. They're not really public yet, so I'm not going to share them on their behalf. But that was another piece of the discussion.
Related to something that they're planning to do?
Okay, so this was a we want to tell you the sustainability initiatives we are doing as a company. So they just wanted to inform us of, it has nothing to do with this particular issue at all. You know, I think they wanted to make sure we understood that they have a... Do we? Sorry, you can just... Oh, this is cool. We're doing the slide. This is the mid-meeting slide. This is awesome. Another 5 minutes, we're all going to slide left again.
What I learned when researching McDonald's in Canada, they have all bamboo utensils. So Canada, as a country, who made that. I couldn't quite get to the whole straw controversy, you know, and what straws they automatically give with what beverage. That I couldn't quite find. But I do know that McDonald's had no problem saying to everyone, do you want to supersize those fries? That was not a problem. So I don't know if it's a problem to say, do you want butter and syrup with those hotcakes? What sauce do you want? Every time that happens, well, what sauce do you have? And they have five. You know, so I don't see this as an issue. And, I mean, just historically speaking, they do this. Whenever I order fries, I never get ketchup with it. Do I have to ask for ketchup? I don't know. I mean, I get McDonald's French fries. I never get ketchup with it, so maybe there's a sign that says I have to ask. I've never backed up to get ketchup either. You know?
You've never run out of your car either.
But I do want to say McDonald's also as a company, they change from their styrofoam or whatever the styrofoam packaging to paper. So I give them kudos, and it seems like this would dovetail directly with what they want to do as a company. So I don't see anything wrong with nudging them and pushing them here. I have a question, though. Bundled, what does that mean? They're going to bundle a fork in plastic? You know, this goes against what we would want. You know, they're going to bundle these things with salt, pepper, a fork, a knife, with fork and a napkin in a plastic wrap. I don't think that is something that would be, you know, that's counterintuitive that they're bundling. What does that mean? I have a question. I just heard Dan say that they're going to bundle these things together. What does it mean?
Not going to bundle.
I don't. You didn't say bundled?
No, I said they weren't going to bundle.
They weren't. Yeah.
They are not going to bundle.
Yeah.
So it's an individual.
Because you're right. That would be the other direction. Not only are they giving you everything, but they're doing it in a little plastic bag. Yeah.
But I mean, those are, I mean, McDonald's, I don't even know how many items require a fork. Probably the pancakes. What else would require a fork? The scrambled eggs?
The
maybe,
steak?
I don't know.
Lobster?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. But I mean, they didn't have a problem doing it to upsell somebody. They don't have a problem doing it with the sauces. I think that they can probably figure this one out.
Okay. So this is great. Just so, I was kind of talking about what our role is at this point. Our role at this point is to provide feedback. We're not rewriting the ordinance. We're not doing anything like that. So we're going to provide this kind of feedback, Harry, to the trustees for when this comes up on your agenda. Monday. Anyway, so, right, we're documenting this. We're going to provide our notes and that's a great perspective, Carrie. Thank you. Right. There's always an asterisk there, right? Before we go further in this conversation, this is Brian, the new village manager. I should have introduced him early on. So he wanted to stop by because he has not met most of us. And obviously, he is key to our success. So thank you for stopping by. Welcome. You've already been here a while, but we just...
No.
No.
You can't have
now?
No.
Unacceptable. We're actually going to relocate the River Forest Sustainability Commission to Wilmette.
I was going to take later on in the meeting, but is my news to share is that I have accepted a position with the Village of Wilmette. My last day in River Forest will be July 1st.
Oh. Later in the agenda, too, so we can glowingly talk about Sarah, but we've, you know, already derailed our plastic conversation. So.
Okay.
So other comments?
Yeah. Well, first I want to say thank you to Dan for your incredibly comprehensive research, more, I think, than any of us have had the bandwidth to do. So thank you very much. I guess I'll try to be concise, and I agree with what you're saying about, I feel like what we need to do is express the principles and the concepts that we are behind, because the wordsmithing and the drafting is like another thing that I feel like the village is. So I would say that in principle, the easy one is I have no problem with saying it would be 90 days, you know, before it takes effect. I agree that the language should reflect after the drive-through situation as well. And I do think the easy solution to all of this is just ask. And I don't think that the language as it's currently written, I'm going to make like a suggestion, but I don't, like I said, I don't want to wordsmith here, but I guess I don't agree with the drafting solution that has been proposed of that number four, which is nothing here prohibits somebody from asking, because I think it already has that. And really where I would suggest looking is under section one, where it says, you know, you can only provide this if it's been requested, and then there's a sentence that says the establishment shall provide options for customers to affirmatively request, and then just add for delivery, takeout, or drive-through situations. And providing the option just means asking them. You know, if you ask them a question, you have provided them with an option to affirmatively request. So that's my two-part comment on that. And then the thing about the straws, again, I guess I agree with the issues that Dan is raising, but I kind of used by the drafting solution and with the idea that the solution to this is that they are going to automatically give you a straw of some sort. Because to me, if you're trying to say that, you would exclude straws entirely from the definition of single-use foodware. And you're just kind of saying, this ordinance doesn't apply to straws, and they're going to hand out straws, and they're going to pick the appropriate kind. So I don't know the drafting solution. You know, obviously you have to make sure you're in compliance with the ADA, and I think they're free to provide the appropriate type, but they can just ask, you know, that's the solution here. It's like, do you want a straw? And I don't know what kind. I guess that gets a little bit more time consuming in the whole logistical flow of things. I'll keep it to that to be.
My one comment, you know, I appreciate all the objectives that was laid out for it to achieve, and looking at the wording, I think it's pretty, you know, are being added here. I do struggle with making exceptions for plastic straws other than for the ADA case. That obviously makes a lot of sense. Support being aligned with ADA and enabling those people straws. However, making an exception for milk-based and fruit-based beverages, while I understand they get soft and squishy, I just think we're in an era where we need to push, like McDonald's, who would be a leader here, to think outside of the box. And I just wouldn't make exceptions for plastic-based straws other than ADA purposes.
Susan, I know you were.
Yeah, I had a couple questions. So I'll clarify a few things just to make sure that my memory is correct. So all of McDonald's concerns have to do with drive-through. Is that correct, or did I miss something?
That's correct.
Yeah. And drive-through was an exception in the Chicago ordinance?
It is.
Okay. Because they have had to comply. I mean, McDonald's operates throughout Chicago, so this is not new to them.
Correct. They have, and they even say without a problem.
them if they have a problem or not, but they...
No, yeah, I mean operationally, they don't seem to have an issue.
So then my only, other than my clarifying questions, my only contributions are, I want to say up front, I don't frequent McDonald's, and the times I go in, I'm so overwhelmed by, you know, like, first of all, they ask you in 3 seconds, what do you want? And I'm like, how would I ever absorb this in 3 seconds? So, like, there's a lot to take in, so it just seems like, you know, the assumption that everybody goes in there is just like, you know, I know.
So you're more of a fast casual kind of person.
Yes, I'm fast casual. Yeah. I don't know what I am. But, you know, I just would emphasize that this is an education, and maybe that could be incorporated into the enforcement of this, is that, yes, initially, you know, I recognize your comments about people aren't going to read signs, but, you know, after you show up two or three times at home without what you need, you know, there'll be a learning process, and you'll be like, oh, I have to ask for this thing. So just like this, all this other information they're asking you to absorb when you go in, eventually you'll have that incorporated in. So, you know, I agree with everybody's comments about pushing things forward, emphasizing that leader, and then just the same comment that Carrie made. You know, they certainly can ask you if you want a bigger size. They ask you what kind of sauce. So these seem pretty minor and seconding all that.
That makes sense. Other comments? So again, we're going to provide our comments. You know, to take like a full step back, right? Like our role in this is to provide the what we think is the most sustainable perspective to the Board of Trustees, and then you know they can lay on that all the other variables that they have to manage to, but it really is our job to provide the most reasonable yet most sustainable option. So we I appreciate everybody's feedback on this. Of course, appreciate Dan's efforts on this, which have been ridiculous. Thanks again, Dan. And we're going to provide this to the trustees as you know, information for them to inform their decision. All right, Lisa? I don't think we need to at this point because we've already done that in a previous meeting.
Well, the thing
So I'll look to Sarah for like
what's the best way for us to do it. Will this. Be so we're gonna I'll summarize the discussion tonight for the village board, and that can be their consideration. We'll be here Monday.
You gotta see this one through for us, Sarah. Any other last comments? And then we'll kind of back up here in the agenda.
I just think it would be a shame to leave out drive-through. I would rather see an outcome like, you know, we need more time to develop this, but I think just because something is difficult and, you know, newer, I think it would be a shame. So.
I love the general perspective we have here of nudging, right? Like, it's inevitable this is going to happen, so, you know, let's start now.
That's the part, I think, under Section 1, where it says food establishments shall provide options for customers to affirmatively request single-use foodware. Well, they can interpret however they want to provide
that's
that
That's a fancy
option.
Way of...
Right. They could ask. They could put up a sign. They could... But it actually says that they have to provide those options, right? So it's not just like we won't automatically put it in there and we're not going to tell you, or you're just going to get home and be surprised. You have to provide an option for people to make that request. So, you know, that's like if you order online, there's got to be like a little place where you can check off that
so
you want it. Right. Well, that's the intent of the entire ordinance,
the
right?
Ordinance
the
is essentially
first
a,
sentence and the second
yeah,
sentence.
Yeah, it's essentially an opt-in ordinance, right? Like you have to opt in order to receive single use. Okay, great. Again, thanks, everybody. I know this has spanned like three meetings or perhaps more, so I'm glad we stuck with this. I think we have a really good good piece of work here, so nice job. Thank you. All right, going back to the agenda, let's adopt the meeting minutes from last month. They were included in your packet. Is there any questions, concerns, changes about the minutes from May 10th?
I had one minor edit to the consideration of sent it to you and Sarah, but I just wanted to clarify that my comment was that while the business community did not come to that meeting, we could still recommend the ordinance to the board, and business owners would have another opportunity to comment at the board level. Mm-hmm. I think that was the context. I emailed that to you and Sarah.
Any other changes to the minutes? All right. We have a motion to approve.
And the motion would be with the amendment that Beth is proposing.
I move for minutes to be approved with my amendment.
We have a second, please.
Second.
All right, thanks, Susan. So follow it up.
Chairperson Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy.
Yes.
Commissioner McLean.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts.
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey.
Yes. Let's go into commissioner reports. I'm gonna start with Charlotte, actually. You know, so I get you to see if just because we haven't seen you in a bit, so like, what's been going on?
To be honest, I don't have much to report. But I have a lot of free time now. So I can take.
All right.
I can take on a project.
That's. We will take advantage of that. We need plenty of help. So.
Yes.
Do you have a college update?
Yes, I will be attending Denison University this.
All right.
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank
Congrats.
You.
Very cool. All right, we'll go in order here. Shannon, any updates on your end?
Well, I've been out for a little bit, but I did have a few calls about greenhouse gas inventories over the last few months. Recently, in the last month, I talked to Gary Kameen about a bigger initiative through Planet Green, other local communities. Susan, you're nodding your head. You might know more than I do, but they're. I know they were looking at communities and maybe institutions, but part of it was maybe, you know, other people to start helping their own inventories to be able to start helping their own climate change plans. So I said, sure, I'd be happy to help when my brain is fully back. So I'm looking forward to doing that. But I am starting to work on the 2021 greenhouse gas inventory. And I know I need catch up from a lot of you and would love to dive into some more of this climate where we're kind of at on a we had talked earlier this year a little bit about climate action plan and things like that. So maybe just where we're at and how we're making progress, and if we what's kind of our goal over the next, you know, 12-18 months, things like that. But it's good to see everyone. I'm happy to be back.
Literally never had a baby that just sat there.
Baby Grant. He doesn't make it with dad.
We're going to add to the agenda visiting hours here as soon as we finish our agenda. Maybe. Oh, it's good to see you, Shannon. Thanks for coming.
I don't think I have a lot to report, just more sort of reporting on that we talked about the website last time, and Sarah very kindly and together, and then I went on vacation for 2 weeks, and figured I had time to reach out to Sarah about it, but I guess we'll have to talk next week to make sure we can hand it off to. And then I'll talk about the communication stuff later.
Yeah, it's coming up later in the agenda.
Don't have much to report in light of. Or I'm happy to, if there's anything I can help or be involved in, as there is awesome.
I think we're gonna have to piece together a bit of a transition plan for the next, you know, couple weeks, so we'll work on that offline for sure. We talk to Charlotte. Maggie.
I just, as part of my work, I've been lucky enough to
I guess, attend a lot of different conferences. And it's really exciting to see the momentum that's building around medium and heavy-duty vehicles from a technology standpoint. Just a lot of the manufacturers who are really leaning in. I was able to go to Virginia to see VP Harris speak about some EPA funding that's coming out specifically geared toward school buses, which is really but as my business continues to expand, we're starting to look now at garbage trucks and recycling trucks and everything else, and I'm excited to learn more about that and how that might be able to impact our village going forward. So I look forward to bringing those learnings here.
Yeah, we look forward to that too. Good stuff. All right, Susan.
So I don't have too much to share. There were actually two Planet Green meetings in between. I attended the first but had a work conflict for the second one. The one I did attend was primarily focused on giving feedback on the draft of Oak Park's Climate Action Plan. A little long. It's very, very extensive, attempting to be very inclusive, and so be interesting to follow where it goes. And then the other thing I just wanted to note was that today was the first electronic recycling and hazardous waste, so I hope that people participated in that. And there's another one coming up in October, if you may.
Well, the future meeting for talking about healthy lawn healthy families is not in a future meeting. Eric will have
to. Yeah, no. That's on me. Carrie and I need to
figure out it.
Walk away. You figured we'd figure this out, but like,
yeah.
the only thing I have is I did attend the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Energy Subcommittee meeting, which was on utility energy efficiency programs. So what I'll do is I'll send the deck out because it's a lot easier than me trying to explain. But this was yesterday. So basically, I didn't realize this, but, you know, we know about the ComEd energy efficiency programs, right? We'll come to your house and do a full audit, and they'll provide you all kinds of products. They renew those programs every 4 years. So every 4 years, all the utilities basically negotiate with the Illinois Commerce Commission for, you know, like what that's going to look like in the future. That was just completed, so this was really kind of giving us a preview of what the programs are going to look like moving forward. And because of some money that's been in CEJA allocated for this, there's actually the programs are going to be more significant, which is great. There's going to be a lot of municipal opportunity here. So for the village, you know, we can probably get some good efficiency stuff done for little or no cost. And then we're going to have an opportunity to communicate to our residents, you know, another push on taking advantage of ComEd's program. So I'll send the deck out. You know, there is also more money for marketing it, which is good, right? So many people don't know about this. It's literally money on the table for our residents. So that's great that they are going to have a bigger marketing push around it. And I think we should probably take advantage of that to make sure that our residents know that they can, you know, get lots of free energy efficient upgrades to their home. So, again, I'll send out the big deck on this, and you can nerd out on it.
That's a great point, Eric. When we talk about, like, our inventory and when we looked at more, we can keep working electric, you know, it might be a nice way, too, to put just some communication out and see if we can collect it.
Definitely. We might as well, like, strike while the iron's hot, right?
And, yeah.
Totally. No. So, just so you know, because Sarah is or really on top of everything, she suggested that this week's write-up be about the ComEd energy efficiency stuff. So you'll see that in the
I hope newsletter. Like
I wrote that up.
I hope like night. Your contract with Wilmette includes like a stipend for your ability to see the future, because that is a very marketable skill.
You know, I'm actually going to be there.
You are?
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
I'll take what everything that I learned with you guys.
You know they're not going to be nearly as cool, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, so the position is assistant to the village. That will be one of three.
So our goal in this meeting is to weave her into every agenda item here. By the end of the meeting, we'll know exactly what Sarah's doing, where she's going.
We have some other village updates.
Fire away.
So an update about the tree ordinance. At this time, we're not able to pursue that ordinance, but what we can do is more of an educational piece. So I think that this is something that can be included in the content calendar when we discuss communications later in the meeting. Huge educational opportunity there.
So this was based on the discussion we had with
the recent,
resident issue.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of trees, I did also mail out that we talked about at last meeting regarding the proper way to mulch. I have an update about the aggregation contract. So MC Squared is able to continue the program, which is great news. However, because of the energy market and how the prices are just currently skyrocketing, there won't be any civic contribution. So I know that's very disappointing, but we are glad that they are able to continue it because we weren't sure that they would.
Can I do full disclosure on this? So there was like two options, right? There was either significantly reduce the amount of,
specific.
Well, so there was either, keep the percent of renewable energy in the profile and no civic contribution, or they would still do the civic contribution. Wait, I did that opposite. sorry, I'll start over. It was a pretty easy choice, right? We could do no civic contribution and keep the level of renewables in the profile, or we could reduce the level of profile and still get a civic contribution.
$500.
Which would have greatly, like our biggest, I don't know if it's the biggest, Shannon, but, one of our biggest, probably the biggest factor in our GHG inventory is this program. So if we cut this program in half as far as how many renewable energy credits they're using, that would be a huge blow to our, to our goal. So we never had a budget anyway, right? And this money is actually the village's, not ours. We feel like that was a pretty easy decision.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Did anybody inquire into the cost of the renewables that they're purchasing?
So I definitely was not part of it, so.
Per,
right. So and then that is what breaks down to the $500 a month. So either get the civic contribution or the RECs. Right.
I guess what I'm confused about is, going back to the origins of this program, essentially what they did, and this is how they were generating cost savings, is that they came in and they carved out the most cost effective. Right. They have those, and those are in the program. Then they bribed us $60,000 for 2 years. Is that right? And then after 2 years, they go, whoops, because we're not, nobody's getting any break off of, it's not like the community solar program where you're getting a 20% break. So essentially, they're still charging what ComEd, and, if you look at your bills, they're going up, up, up. Now they're saying we're still going to be servicing the most cost-effective one. So they're still reaping all of the savings. And they've just removed the
$60,000. Well, the village is getting the RECs, right?
No, they're still getting the RECs, which you said are valued at $6,000,
right,
per year. So $12,000. So the benefit of this program used to be $36,000 per year, right? $30,000 to the village, $6,000 RECs. And now, after 2 years.
Well, sorry to interrupt you. The RECs are not, the cost to purchase them varies too. So
okay.
I think it's all market-based, and because of where the energy market is right now, it's just there's a sliver of that differential between what SCARED is able to purchase at and what the ComEd rate is. Because of that, that sliver, there's just not enough to do.
They're not saving much.
And the RECs.
from a sustainability point of view, is there anything good about this market?
Oh.
Yeah, we're still.
That's what I was going to add, is that so we have added, and, you know, we in the past we had this controversy. It's like, yeah, you know, it's greener for people to be in community solar, but then, you know, the village uses it. So I would say right. That incentive is completely flipped now, and that, you know, I think the more people that we can get onto community solar so that we don't lose that offsets of the
I agree. Community solar continues.
But, you know, I think that's, you know, we needed more incentive. It's
fine.
How many years do we have aggregation? Like, and for Rex is going
on to be selling.
That is slated for the board's agenda on Monday.
So the board has to approve the new contract. Lisa, we approve.
We're. The recommendation is, and then finally, the Zoning Board of Appeals took up the solar panel text amendment at their meeting on June 9th. The discussion was continued to their July 14th meeting. That's not unusual, so I'll say that or anything. But so we can anticipate that will be going back to the Village Board for their consideration sometime later this summer.
More color for that.
Okay.
So this is working with Jeff on, you know, SoulSmart, right? But SoulSmart is requiring us to have this zoning change in order for us to achieve silver or gold. I would say like the general temperature of the zoning commission is they don't love to do things off plan, right? So they have a set schedule of when they basically look at zoning changes. They do them all at the same time. They change, you know, they vote on it. They change the codes, and you know, it's like an annual thing. I don't know how often it is, but and so we're asking them to do this out of sync. And my opinion is that the temperature was pretty lukewarm on doing that. They wanted some more information from us, and so this got punted, like Sarah said, to the next meeting. We've got to get them additional information to kind of inform their decision, so that we could hopefully get them to make these changes. And we already have the change, like the things they asked for have already been drawn up by the consultants. So, you know, hopefully that'll go well. And you guys can attend that meeting too if you want to provide support for it. We'll send an email reminder out. Yeah. It's awesome, Carrie. Like, you might be thinking, oh, I'm going to go out and drink rosé, like, at a cool place outside, but no. Get in your basement and... You were, yeah. So, I have to go look at my notes. Offhand, I can't remember. But, like, a lot of it is technical zoning stuff I don't understand either. So, our consultant was also on... you know, on the call as well. And it was more of a conversation between them. And then, Brian, were you on that call too? No.
I think there was something about right. ground mounted, like making sure that it doesn't take up a certain lot. I mean, it's really like.
They had a lot of concerns about ground mounted, which is unfortunately, like, there's probably not going to be any ground mounted in this town. You know, it's not like people aren't going to be doing ground mounted in their backyards. Usually, But they had a lot of concerns about...
Like the one at Grace Lutheran, you mean?
Right. Right. This is on public record. No, so... I want to make sure. But their concerns were totally valid, right? It's like, you know, like how high can it be? And like, how does that jive with current zoning? And is that like, you know, there was concerns of that. These guys, like on the zoning commission, it's right next level, you know, about what they know about the world of zoning.
Yeah. So essentially their concerns were more technical in nature, not with the concept general.
I was like, do we need this part of it? Isn't that already accommodated in this part of the code? And so anyways, that's coming up on July 14th. So we'll attend that meeting and hopefully have all the answers they need. The consultant, John, will also be on that meeting. So get our designations.
That sounds like, I mean, sort of the goal, the reason and the goal is because zoning is so complicated and you want
to make it easy, right? Or you want to make sure it's...
Well, we could maybe... might be something, if it's purely technical, maybe SoulSmart doesn't need to be involved, but if it's something they maybe have seen in the past.
That's a good point. Actually, I would be surprised if SoulSmart had all kinds of, you know, they've had to fight these probably zoning issues everywhere, so they probably have good references on that.
And their requirement is fairly liberal, I would say, of they understand that municipalities have their own technical requirements on this and that, and they tried to not write it super narrowly, I guess. I would put it, and they do understand the ground-mounted piece, and they are more interested in the rooftop. It was much of a discussion point for the ZBA. And then I will also just say that the ZBA is, like you guys are recommending. So it is ultimately the village board who makes the decision about or not to approve the text.
Okay, let's keep moving through. Sorry, it's already 8 o'clock, so we'll try to cruise through here. We're on number six, I believe, which is EV charging stations village-wide.
Yeah, and so this one is we are preparing an RFP, which is a request for proposals to identify viable locations for future stations throughout the village. So all I'm really looking for, you guys, is any input you might have in terms of like what types of considerations should a company who's performing this study include in their proposal? What should we be asking them? We just want to make sure that we aren't missing something that would basically what are we looking to learn from? Yeah, and okay. Yeah, or you know, you can certainly send me stuff really.
Well, we already had part of this conversation, like might have been a while ago when we first talked about charging stations. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about where to place, right? We talked about how we, and you guys remind me, you know how good my memory is. We talked about it being able to support retail. Right. So, you know, this one, like we was just proof of concept. It was a good place to do it from running power to it and stuff like that. Yeah. So the hardware itself is a, we got to make sure that we're, you know, doing kind of best practice on the hardware side, which is not hard to figure out now.
Can I ask, does it have to be like land, or can it be a
like
I think the
town center
is
right,
private,
right? So.
Of a mailbox, that way it's public.
I guess I'm not really looking for that level of detail. More like, should we include something about the different levels of charging stations?
It's really more regarding the RST, kind of what you want
right,
in there.
Right,
right. Okay, so.
And the problem is I don't have an example to give you.
Well, that's
like,
okay.
I'm
so, like, so we just said, like, the
input,
hardware
right.
specification and making sure
right.
it's compatible with the widest amount of cars. That's a great one.
I have a question and then maybe some comments. So this is, the village is putting out an RFP for a place to do a study about electric vehicle charging station options for the village. Is this essentially? So we're looking for, the result is that they would make some kind of recommendation to the village. So I.
Yeah, in terms of like what places to install electric vehicle charging
so something
stations
like,
in the next 10 years.
So I would think questions that I would have would be, well, what is the anticipated demand, right? If
okay.
a company has expertise, they're going to project that demand out, how it's going to grow, and where is the, I don't know.
What are the most effective kind of locations according to research?
Yeah, and because I really just don't know much about this, I'm trying to understand, like, if somebody buys an electric car, aren't they going to mostly charge it at home? I guess I don't really.
So this was a philosophical discussion we had before, which I think our point of view last time on this was, this isn't really for us. Like, this is for, I mean, it is somewhat, but this is for, like, if you went to, you know, River Forest Chocolates, from out of town or in town, like, and there was a plug-in, would that be more convenient? Would you be more likely to go?
So I would just really want to see a good analysis about how you think about demand for sort of publicly accessible electric vehicle charging stations. Not, I mean, the location is, that comes next after about what the demand is, right? Like, why would somebody want to charge at a publicly available station? And the retail example makes sense, but...
we'll let them answer that, right?
I suppose they could also make recommendations then about, like, types of options of different charts and compatibility with cars and all that.
We always look for a charge, whatever
sure.
city we go to. And it could drive where, you know, like, oh, we can do it here. Let's go to that restaurant. It is something that we look for.
I will park. Yeah,
we will look for that, because when you're on the road, we have a – you know, it's not a Tesla. It's just, you know, we get 50 miles or 60 miles, but we will always try to charge. But it has to be short-term, near places to go. Like, this is a little, like you said, long-term, but short-term, near something. One in downtown Oak Park is, I don't know if that's public or private.
Yeah, I mean, I park in that garage.
In the garage and over by...
outside by the beer shop.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, so maybe to agree both with Carrie and Beth's comments, to me, the scope of the study, I mean, I think I don't, my recommendation would be not limited to just where we want to put locations. I think we could use some education, especially because they're changing so fast, on like better understanding the demand, both from a private user as well as, you know, what's the action plan for the village and our electrical vehicle use? So, you know, Maggie, work is in kind of like, we have a plan for the transition of vehicles, ambulances, things like that. Some of that's not feasible, but it's not that far up. If we're talking 10 years, all of this is going to,
yeah.
I would love to rely on a consultant to kind of give us, like, what's maybe the vision, the strategy for the village, and what we should expect both from, you know, residents and what they're going to want, but also what the village should be doing, and then build, because, you know, there's two facets to it. It's the vehicles, which the village can control what they're buying and what they're using. They can't control what residents are using, but they can project it. And then you choose, you know, your charging station types, usage, things like that. And then, you know, kind of talking about personal usage, like, I know we but we're partially electric now, and we always look for charging, and it's things like, do they charge for it or not? How fast is it? Does it have the right hookups?
things like that, and I bet they could give us a lot of recommendations.
The village does have a plan. And they buy, they're phasing it. The village has a plan.
At least for their light use vehicles, they do.
Yeah. This would be more proper.
But yeah, I mean, this is a good point. I feel like Beth's saying a similar thing too, which is like the first questions I ask are, right? Like, what's the demand? What's the marketplace want? What's our village's goals? Oh, so they have to upgrade the transformer because.
Correct.
Utility infrastructure as well as village infrastructure.
Yeah, it requires detailed planning in order to understand how to be able to deliver for that 10-year.
I'd layer on to that too is Aggie's business too of like, not narrow this down to, you know, passenger vehicles, but. Buses, you know, any other kind of vehicle.
I think I want to personally just be on the record with everything with state and church and all that. I think that is, I would draw the line there. I don't know. With religious institutions and those kind of private college institutions, I mean, that would be a big ask, I think.
But I guess that maybe be part of it is like what partners you, the village, I mean, down the road, but I don't know that we would
village
propose spending
be,
village
yeah.
money and go put these chargers there. But if you could standardize or say like show that there's demand or show, I assume part of this would be justifying grant requests or state money. Is that true?
Maybe.
Or and maybe that's like part of a, part of the study could be to justify bringing in a partner that will actually be funding them or paying for a portion of.
I think the infrastructure question is a little important for any, you know, churches and all that stuff too, because it's like everybody needs to be able to install charging and, you know, and.
Yeah, and that's kind of like more getting. We're just kind of. The energy they're taking from the grid. To the village, either me or Jeff Loster. I think we are looking to try to get this RFP out in the next few weeks, so I would say if you could send them just sooner than later.
Great. That's good stuff. We're going to strike number 7, right?
Right. I do have one comment about NOMO May. So I tried NOMO May this year, and sorry, Lisa, that I tried NOMO May because my yard was this high. I mean, they broke a lawnmower mowing my yard, I think. You know what I mean? It was absolutely ridiculous. And so then I dove deep and found other gardeners, you know, and really the real reasons for this NOMO May. I did ask my people, and she goes, it will make your lawn healthier. It does seem to be healthy, but it's a tough sell. I'm like, NOMO. No mo, no mo, no mo. I mean, I may do it every other week, you know, or something like that. But it is, I mean, I like horizontal surfaces clean, and this is a really big horizontal surface in my yard. I will definitely, and maybe that, you know, as a communication thing. But then I've been also reading very controversial things. Like, it may not be quite. So it was real hard. It was real hard for me to do that. It was ridiculous. Up until like the very end of that last week, like about 3.5 weeks.
Did anyone else do it? I thought somebody else was doing it. You did?
How
did
well, I drove by your house.
So how'd it go?
Did you drive my house? It was absolutely ridiculous.
I walk by your house every day. I was laughing so hard.
It was ridiculous.
It was like
absolutely ridiculous.
It was like you were growing crops, but
oh my god!
But like it was like August.
I know. I went away for a week and I came back. I'm like, oh my god, I'm mowing this myself. You know, I can't. I don't have a lawnmower.
Well, I think so. I would just, several things. Okay, I did try it. I think the weather this year was not conducive to
it.
It
was so cold and yeah.
Because it was like we had all
hot,
this water
yeah.
and then we had all this heat and, you know, I mean, like I went to bed and got up the next day and it was a foot higher. So,
oh my God.
So what I did was I modified it to attempt. So I think after 2 weeks I mowed my front lawn, which was, but I said I'll leave my parkway and I'll just, if I get dinged. Just deal with that.
But
and
then
I left
yeah.
and then I in my backyard, so I just kind of modified. And you know, what I read about it was, it's not really essential that it's everything. It's just that there's a space. So like one thing I've noticed with the forest preserve, which if you look at that Washington and Thatcher, there's this field there with that they always mowed, and now they just do like a swath of it,
mm-hmm.
some. So I don't think it has to be everything. It's just insects have to have somewhere to go, but it doesn't
yeah.
have to be everything. So I thought, you know, well, my backyard is my backyard. Like,
yeah.
incremental.
It's,
so,
it's tough, and the village will never adopt it. I'm telling you.
And I know some people were upset because I got some feedback from people. God, I think my neighbors are a no-mow
age.
But, and you know, and another thing to take into account is that Appleton is significant. Like, you know, we didn't think about this, but
right.
it's significant.
Yeah, May is like June here, or
yeah.
no, May is like
it's
March.
Like a month off, right?
It's significantly
like April,
north
I'm
of
sorry,
here,
April.
So maybe you know, maybe adjusting it to us, it's really
right.
like no mo April.
It
I don't
is
know.
Like no mo April.
It doesn't have the same.
It doesn't
you know,
flow though. It doesn't
it's
have
absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe
so,
we need
it's unacceptable
term,
from a marketing
absolutely
standpoint.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay,
they're
so this is awesome that you guys did this because. And like, I just really hope you do it again because it was such entertainment.
Like, oh my God,
it was endless entertainment on my dog walks, but I had to really make sure my dog didn't run away because we'd never find it on Carrie's lawn. All right, that's awesome. You guys took one for the team, though.
Yeah, because I tried to convince my mom to do it, but she said because we had that, like, 1 week at, like, I think it was mid-May that was, like, or I don't remember exactly when, but we had that 1 week, it was, like, really early where it was in the 80s. Yeah. And my mom said that because of that, like, we didn't.
It was knee-high by 4th of July.
It was large.
All right, pass that around, but on the sake of time here, we'll keep moving on. You did have a pilot program, and right. That's because they couldn't see your house anymore, which is really nice. Okay, let's segue that into the compost program, because that did have to get cut at some point. Compost program updates.
Okay.
Do you have those metrics?
Thank you.
Okay, so this is what I sent you just before the meeting, and I am a little late, but be straightforward here. Can you
email this to people?
I did, yeah. Okay, and then Lisa, you had asked about total eligible subscribers. When you said a percentage of like what what kind of percentage. Okay, got it. So equals.
So that shows that.
Brian, I hope
there's been an.
I hope Sarah's replacement can do math.
So our, just to kind of walk you through this real quickly here, here, this is the number of total eligible subscribers, 397 prior to the new contract. So as of June 14th, that's when I ran these numbers, we were at 449. So that's 52 new subscribers, which is great. And
which is 13% of people like.
And then we have here just kind of the numbers in terms of what people were requesting. So these are people who were already on the program, 25. So of the 42 people who completed the SurveyMonkey, 25 wanted a 35-gallon cart, and then 17 wanted the 95-gallon. Of the, all of the 52 new subscribers, 22 wanted a 35-gallon, 24 wanted the 65-gallon, and 6 people wanted the 95-gallon. So this number is, I think, Susan, you had asked about this in terms of how many people who were already on the program changed their cart size, and that's 11%.
Do you feel like this is the whole story, or do you think this will continue to evolve?
I think it's a tough question to answer. I think it depends on how much the village communicates the program. I think that having the multiple cart sizes has really increased interest in the program. We had a lot of people call and ask questions about it. So I think that this is probably, we're not going to see this much activity
but maybe going forward.
But yeah, I think that it's going to be a positive change.
Yes, the cart change.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying 25 people changed to the 35-gallon?
So yeah, 25 people who already had, who have already been in the program since before the new contract. 25 of them went to a smaller cart size, and 17 of them went to larger one. Yep.
And then just a general question. Can you put all kinds of weeds, any weed in there?
Mm-hmm.
You can put any weed in there.
Any organic material.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, and I did. Invasive weeds in there.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
So I have a question and a comment. One is, I think this was Lisa's question. So what is the number of eligible subscribers?
So there's
there you go. Okay.
2,842.
So that's like households.
Right.
Is that
right?
Not apartment.
Yeah.
Or it's really a multifamily under I think 3 units.
So we're at 15% participation.
Yep.
So this is really great information, and what I would love to discuss at next meeting or something is some. You know, I'm very goal-driven, and I feel like people are motivated by having a goal. So it would be nice to have a conversation around where we'd like to see that number by the end of the year and what we would do to achieve it.
I'd love to have some context to that, too. Like, what's the rate of subscribers in other surrounding villages?
Yeah, benchmarking.
Yeah.
Another question. I'm sure it would be on our website. But are they still dropping off compost like they did during COVID? Is that going to be a forever thing?
Yeah, you know? we did not discuss with them that we wanted to. And oh, are you talking about with
the home delivery
LRS, right? Or are you talking about Public Works actually delivering it?
They were delivered.
Public Works
delivered it. Is that a thing that's going to happen?
Yeah, I imagine that unless. We are told otherwise, the Public Works crew will continue to deliver it in April.
April. And how much is that? Like, do you know how many cubic yards are delivered to each?
54 cubic yards is the maximum.
That's the maximum.
Oh, you add, you can say what you,
you can
need.
Request up to 54 cubic yards.
Yeah.
Thank
so, and I think we had 130 people, give or take, who asked for the.
I had another just like kind of like off topic question about composting, but I was just today actually when I was taking on the compost, if they changed the bins, I don't know if they did this. This is for yard waste only, but like not just yard waste. So
we are having that corrected.
Okay, good.
It's supposed to be corrected by LRS by tomorrow. So they'll come out and put stickers and relabel those.
Good catch. Yeah, that
old one, I guess. Because probably take the old
they're just going to put a sticker on.
No, I mean the.
Oh, yeah. Are they?
At least for mine. They didn't.
They didn't take mine.
They gave me a new one, but didn't take the old one.
No, I have the old green one.
Oh.
They're not going to take that, right?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
So
you keep your old
you
one.
Change, unless you change your part size, then they'll swap it out. But if you have no changes to your program, they're not going to.
You have a retro pre-LRS.
No, they brought me a
bin.
Blue. They brought me a blue boat? One, and I have the same size old one still.
So they didn't take the old one.
Then you know they might be just replacing all of them. And
you
could
sell that on
that
eBay.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, some slight raccoon damage.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean that's like an upgrade.
As long as you have the correct cart size, that is my main concern.
I did have the right size.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they took my old one.
I think it's part of their rebranding, too.
Sky's the limit, Jeff, with what you do with that thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to see you riding down the sled hill on that thing. Okay, communications. Do you have more complex questions?
I'll just make one comment about, because I don't know where else to make this comment, and it's vaguely related to LRS. And just to be kind of on the record, that I was disappointed that residents were not given more time to take advantage of the first round. I mean, the notice came while we were on vacation, and the deadline had passed by the time we got back. And I feel that that's really unfortunate, and we'll publicize for October.
Electronics?
I'm talking about the electronics and the household hazardous waste thing. It was not enough
time. The timing
time.
Of the brochure.
Not enough
I
time.
Thought, what I was surprised about with respect to this was I didn't think it was clear in the proposals that they made that these were two set dates, and I wondered if other people also had that confusion.
Oh, I knew that it would be certain dates.
Okay,
because
in
pick up
in
twice
Oak
a year.
Park, it's you call and you do a request, and then and LRS is honoring that in Oak Park. So I didn't realize like these were our two things.
I think you can still do that.
You can still do
but
it?
That you would that would be a special pickup that you pay for. So the collection, these collections that offering are at no added cost.
Yeah, because it just didn't seem like it was clear to me that those were going to occur on.
That part didn't bother me, but the short deadline bothered me. And I feel like I don't really know if there's any opportunity for it, but some of the momentum and the thinking, by October, like the contract just came out, right? And people are sort of excited to take advantage of it. Now I've got to hold on to my electronics for another, 5 months or whatever. And I don't know if there's any room to go back and talk to them about it, but I really feel like it was insufficient notice, because there's like a whole procedure you got to learn. And anyway.
What you could do is you could type that up into an email and I can
share
that with them. Okay.
All right. So let's do communications. And first of all, huge thank you and kudos to Maggie for her great write-up that she did for her monthly about vehicles. And a big thank you to Jeff's piece, which is going to come out at the beginning of July on rooftop solar. My friend
Spoiler
said,
alert.
I want to know how he got the photo. Does Jeff have a drone camera? Amazing. Okay.
It's a good photo.
So what we usually talk about is the schedule of the monthly write-ups and then the immediately the weeklies for the next month. And I didn't sign into the Zoom meeting, and I'm not going to take everybody's time with that. I will just say that we had a plan for you, Eric, to write in August about the single-use foodware ordinance, but I think it's going to be too early for that now, right?
Can we swap with?
Well, September was Ellie, and I can follow up with her after this, either highlighting a local business with sustainable practices, or she wrote to me separately and said she really wanted to write a piece about how sustainability saves you money. So I can ask her if she can, that was sort of her whole, like, angle with the messaging. I can see if she can have that ready for August, and we could bump yours to September. And then we had Leave the Leave that Carrie's doing for October. So November and December are open right now. If Ellie's still going to highlight a local business, we talked about Little Bits, that could be one of them, or Charlotte. I wonder if you would like to think ahead for, since you have some time now, you could, you know, the monthly write-ups are not necessarily time sensitive. They're like more of an educational thing about something. So does anybody have any suggestions for topics? Charlotte, could have a
I do like highlighting local businesses who are with sustainability practices around the holidays, especially the kind of.
Well, yeah. Right? So Little Bits Workshop would be a great one actually to do in November because people could, I don't know, make gifts or something.
Yeah.
So I can see if Ellie's still up for that or if she's doesn't want to write too, maybe
yeah,
you could do the Little Bits.
I used to go there all the time when I was little, so I had like birthday parties there.
Okay, all right, good. So I'll email you and Ellie separately about that. Okay. December is a long ways away, but if other people have monthly topic ideas that come to mind, feel free to throw them out. Otherwise, we'll talk about it again next month. And then for the weekly write-ups in July, I don't have anything specifically slated, but listening to the discussion, one is we could do one about education about the tree ordinance, because I think that's what you're saying is you want to just make residents more aware of the existing tree ordinance that we have?
No, I more meant, so I think the issue was oak wilt and like when proper
to prune,
time to prune
proper
that
time
tree.
To prune.
So more in that in that regard, so things that you might not know about trees or something like that.
Okay.
You know, and that can include the volcano mulching thing as well.
Yeah, we did a separate one on the volcano mulching, but we could repeat it.
Yeah, and, you know, I put together like a quick like a little PDF that I can post on the website that could be linked. Well,
so I guess
it's a cleaned up version of what the Morton Arboretum has.
Okay. So, you know, if you weren't going to be transitioning, it almost sounds like you have enough to put that together. But is that something where you've got materials and maybe if you share them with Charlotte, would you be willing to do that? Kind of, it's like this is the really short weekly one. It's only like 100 words, right? But it's just massaging and coming up with a nice headline. Would that make sense? Like if you have materials?
I don't personally have a lot of knowledge about tree pruning and the best, like those types of practices, but I can certainly share the volcano mulching document.
Maybe I lost the thread then, because I thought you said you wanted to do some, you thought there was a great opportunity for education about
pruning.
About tree pruning?
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's what I meant.
So that's something we could talk to like a local arborist and get.
And we could also talk to Brian Skozek, the superintendent, Public Works. He's a wealth of knowledge on trees.
That would be just
And I mean, I can, if the focus is on pruning, I can also point you in the direction of where to get information about that.
And it doesn't have to be pruning specifically. That was just where that discussion began.
Well, what I'm trying to do right now is to fill in the calendar for the
September
July.
Right? Because you have to do that in the fall, don't you?
Well, I'm talking about the weekly newsletter write-ups now. So and but I need write-ups for July. So we
that's a good, but that's a good topic for later.
In July.
But it doesn't die, it just goes dormant. Well, especially here where it's so wet. I mean, like, you know, we're going to get groundwater and rain. It's a short one, Carrie, so this is right. This is 100
like 100 words, right? It's
that'd be great, because that's a message that I don't think people really know.
Okay, so sort of how to care for your
Just alternative ways to cure for your lawn.
How to care for your lawn.
To save,
so,
yeah. Save water, save money.
Put that like the second week of July. So,
so what's this?
I know it's getting late here, but it would be July 11th, I guess.
Yep. July 11th, 8 a.m. So,
July 11th.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so then are we short a story for June? Because this week is the week of the 20th. So I've given you the thing about. Oh, right. That's right. Okay. So this week I've written the thing about the ComEd, and Susan has kindly volunteered to write one about community gardens. That'll be due on June 27th. And then the week of July 4th will be Jeff's piece. Then you'll do
that's backwards, but that's okay.
Excuse me,
the Jeff piece will be on July 1st because it goes out the first Friday of the month. That's done. So then, Susan, your
piece
would
be
due
July 4th.
We'll call it July 5th.
July 5th.
We're closed on the 4th. So.
So the monthly one always goes out on the first Friday of the month?
Correct.
I see.
You're doing weekly.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got the week of July 4th is taken care of with Susan's piece. The week of July 11th will be how to care for your lawn. Then there will be two more weeks in July that need like these short write-ups. And one thing that I was thinking to the point we talked about community solar and the waste reduction thing, I almost feel like we could do those, something about those two topics every month or swap those every other month. Like this sort of constant churn of like, what should we write like next week is, I don't.
It's impossible to manage.
Yeah, and I also feel like from sort of a impact point of view, right, like this is what I said is I want to be goal-driven. Otherwise, I feel like we're running around.
I'll do a community solar write-up that weekend.
You want to just do community solar, like something like.
So we can keep reusing it.
Well, it's just that all these topics we talk about, you know, this little 100-word soundbite, you can only get like a little bit of it, right? And, you know, people have to hear about things over and over and over. So you want to write something about community solar at least every other month, maybe every month, with a different angle on it, right?
Sure.
Like, did you know this is what a community solar farm actually
operates?
I have
an idea.
At the end, you're just like, click here to sign up.
We talk a lot about how we have trouble messaging some of these things. This is a great opportunity. And I agree, if we keep repeating it.
Right, but it's not just repeating, like, remember to sign up, remember to sign up. It's like you pick a different part of the topic to educate about, and then there's always a link at the bottom saying click to sign up. And then this would alleviate some of the constant, like, you know, and then if some month there's some other timely thing that comes up, we're like, okay, then we'll just hold that piece or not run it. And then I would propose a similar thing with something about waste reduction, you know, compost, the household hazardous waste and the electronics thing, even though it's not till October, I really think people need to hear about it multiple times. Out what you need to do, how do you request it, et cetera. So I can, if Eric, if you'll do like a regular thing, you know, about community solar every month, I can sort of think about a series of messages related to waste reduction / compost.
Sure. I might just thing out like, and, you know, kind of different, just so we have like a library of community solar tidbits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just ask you a question on this? Because, Sarah's been sending out the community solar numbers, and I put together a chart, and it's sort of following them. And the number of enrollments is not increasing, and I think this has to be an error, but they said number enrolled decreased. So they said 33 last in May, and then this time they said 24. I don't know if anybody else noticed that. So I'm just thinking if we're going to promote this, we should probably figure out why the number, the number of enrollments sent out is just stuck. I mean, it was like at 89. 92 in May and then 92 in June. So that's not.
Well, because I think it's like anything else, right? The first people who really are motivated to do it. And then if you don't do something, you're not.
So this is on the MC Squared site. The number of people enrolling is going up. So it's 95, 105, 128, 131. But the number of enrollments sent out is not changing. So people are on the wait list.
but MC Squared not sending.
Well, that might have to do with their capacity.
Right.
And
so I feel like we should understand that more.
Oh,
and that maybe a better time to promote it is when there's actually a project. Because just to, you know, to push it and push it, to have people sit there and wait, doesn't make us look real good. So, and we did talk about this, that we were going to try to figure out, you know, when something else might come online. And so I'm just thinking maybe it'd be better to synchronize those a little bit better so people sign up and then they're rewarded by actually.
Yeah, it might be time to have a short.
Yeah, and just sort of figure out, like, why isn't this number?
And try to coordinate our messaging with.
Yeah, or maybe
so
another way of saying is, like, you know, when might we expect it?
Then
we can push before that.
Yeah, and the other thing that's sort of on the back burner pending, I guess, Sarah, the implementation of, what do you call it, net metering by ComEd, that Mark, when he was here, had offered to do kind of like a, you know, webinar thing, and I'd really like to do that. But I think it was Sarah's recommendation that we wait until ComEd was ready to straighten out that billing thing where you don't have to have two bills. But do you have any idea of when that's coming?
No, I did ask MC Squared about that, and they know that Mark had told us that it was supposed to happen in June. So I don't know, but just said MC Squared just told me that their ComEd is not quite ready to roll that out yet, but I did ask her to keep us posted.
Okay, so we may or may not want to wait for that depending on, you know, because I thought the offer of him doing kind of an educational thing was a really great one. Anyway, okay, so thank you. And Charlotte, maybe I'll follow up with you about having you help me write that series of pieces about waste reduction and education about how to take advantage of the new things, because that's something we could plan for like the next few months.
Yeah, sounds
cool. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks, Beth. As always, Beth has a lot on her plate, so the more we can do to help her. We're kind of over our usual time allocation here. Is there any other business? I'm going to pass the mic to Sarah. I can be the MC if you want.
Well, just more on a personal note, as a municipal employee, there's generally a rule about not sharing your about things, right? But I'm going to break that rule for just a moment. I really enjoyed working with you guys. You are so energetic, so passionate, and I find it very rewarding to know that there are people who really care about their community and the work that we as municipal employees do. And what we're able to get done together. Change comes from action at the local level, and you guys are truly doing a lot of really great work. And for that, I will do everything I can to make sure that you're set up and that your work continues to move forward as seamlessly as possible. I don't really know as far as who your next staff liaison is. We are still working out some of those details, but we will certainly be in touch. I don't know yet.
Are sure you going to take
be
a vacation?
On website soon.
Yeah, so obviously, Sarah, this is her last meeting with us because our next meeting is 12th. Are you taking some time off, or do you start your new job right away?
I am. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
good
taking
for you.
Off the week of the 4th.
Okay. Excellent.
And email it to communications at.
I just get my 2 cents in. So, you know, at the end of every meeting, I tell Sarah the same thing, which you're amazing. The other joke I make is that Sarah is the chair of the commission. It's not even a joke. It's like it's essentially true.
Shadow
right?
chair.
She does all the legwork. You have set up for us for success on pretty much every project we're working on, and you know, big shoes to fill for sure. But you're not replaceable. So,
Well, I have been with the village for 3.5 years, so it's.
Right. Her role with us is relatively new, though. So mm-hmm. You're going to be missed. So but we are very happy for you because I know this is a, you know,
well,
is assistant
you.
Village
that.
Manager position.
Assistant to the village manager.
Right.
Very different.
Okay. So still, I'm sure it's going to be an awesome opportunity, and I'm sure you'll crush it. So,
thank you.
Even though that's new chair territory.
Well, I do want to pile on and just go on the record saying that it has really been tremendous working with you, Tara. And you know, you're so thorough, you're so prompt, and most importantly, you are so dedicated to helping, you know, move the goals forward, and you make things happen. And we're really grateful and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, on that note.
Being adjourned.
So the next meeting is scheduled for July 12th. We were considering not having that meeting. So I don't know if anybody, we traditionally have like skipped a meeting sometimes too during the year, during kind of vacation-ish times. July is not usually a month we skip, but with the transition of Sarah and stuff like that, we could if we needed to. So I don't know if anybody has any kind of feedback. If not, I'll just offline, I'll ask around.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be on vacation in July, and I feel like we have a lot of momentum, and I don't know. If you want to take a break, I'm okay with that, too. But
okay. Well, I'm going to keep it on the schedule.
It can be a short meeting.
And with the Zoom option, you can be anywhere. You can be anywhere. So,
it's true. You can be on vacation and still be on this.
Yeah, so maybe we could just, say, we'll have a brief catch-up meeting, like nothing meaty.
Maybe we do a short meeting in July.
Attempt to have a short meeting.
Okay. That'll be my goal. Charlotte, were you going to add something to that?
Oh, I have a question that I just turning on my mic.
All right, fire away.
Oh, okay. Well, I was asking, when I was here in, we were talking about, some sort of tree project. What happened with that?
So that was what I was referring to earlier when I said the tree ordinance. So sure. That, kind of putting a pin in that part of it, it's a very difficult thing to administer, both from a legal perspective and frankly,
okay.
It's traditionally more of a private property matter. And when the village starts getting involved in those things, so that was kind of why we're the recommendation is to go a little bit of a different path and to do more of an educational piece on that. Was
gotcha. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Can I have a motion to adjourn? Thank you, Carrie. Can I have a second? Oh, Jeff with the second. All right. We are so adjourned. Enjoy these summer days, everybody. Thanks for everything as always.